Much of what we've been thinking about over these last 6 weeks is how we, as a community of God's people, can journey with, can come alongside each other, can encourage, can support each other in the difficulties and the challenges of life. And it's not just about helping with the daily practical issues that people face, but it's seeking to share something of God, of God's grace and love and peace into those situations. And this is vitally important and something we want to ensure becomes fully embedded in the life and the culture of the church. But today, we're going to be thinking particularly about how we can extend this concept to reach outside the doors of our building, the community of our congregations, to a world which is full of people who have the same challenges, who have the same difficulties, who experience the same problems, but don't have the privilege of being in a relationship with God or in a group of people who believe in Him. How do we, as God's people, take the principles that we've been thinking about and apply them in the reality of daily living in the context of the people that we spend time with? We saw a powerful and tragic reminder of the need for this as we reflected on the events of London yesterday evening. It was good to pray for those involved earlier and those who have lost loved ones, those who are struggling with injury, those who are trying to make sense of what happened. And we recognise the tragedy of life. But we also know there are challenges and difficulties that people face on a daily basis that can wear us down and leave us looking for something to cling on to hope in. And we have something that enables us to reach into those situations. And it's not just something we've dreamt up. This is something that Jesus has called us to be and to do. Before he went back to heaven, he gathered his disciples together and said, "Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." He told them to go and help others, to help them come to know Jesus, to welcome them into the community of faith, to help them grow into people who would then in turn be able to go and help others. Jesus told his followers that he wanted to give them a new command. "A new command I give you," he said, "love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And that's one of the ideas we've been focusing on over these last few weeks. And that through doing so, through loving each other, others would see something different about us. That we have committed ourselves to following Jesus, and it makes a difference. It allows lives to be changed. And then, and this is our memory text, our text for the year, as we focus on this as a church, Jesus said again, just before he went back to heaven, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he sends us in the power of his Spirit into the world, just as he was sent into the world by his Father. So how are we to go? How are we to demonstrate the love of Jesus? How are we to be sent into a broken and suffering world? How are we supposed to be able to make a difference when the challenges and the difficulties seem so large? And the story we read earlier helps us to explore some of these questions and come up with some answers. And to put it in context, Acts 3 happens after Acts 2. You following me so far? And in Acts 2, we find the amazing events of that first Pentecost, when these words that Jesus said to his disciples, "Receive the Holy Spirit," became true. And they were meeting together, and God sent his Spirit upon them, and they were filled, they were changed, they were transformed. And they did not keep it to themselves, but they went out, and people heard them speaking in languages that they did not understand. But the people who were listening to them did understand. And they realized that something was going on, And Peter, one of those followers of Jesus that was in this story here, stood up and he spoke and he preached and he explained what God was doing. And his words were so powerful, the Spirit was so present, that we're told that about 3,000 people joined their community that day as they came to believe in Jesus, as God's Spirit was poured out into their lives. And people kept on being added to that community day after day. It was big. It was exciting. Our story today is not so big, but it was life-changing for an individual. And sometimes there is the big things. Some of us had the opportunity to be in the castle grounds yesterday afternoon and share with Christians from across the town as we celebrated Pentecost and as we celebrated the birth of the church. And it was a great opportunity to meet with people, to pray with people, to say, this is what this is all about. It was big. It was exciting. Not quite as big and exciting as it was on the first Pentecost. But hey, you start somewhere. But this story was life-changing for one individual. And sometimes that's what we are called to do. Often, that's what we're called to do. To come alongside one person, to recognize that person's need and say, we have something that can help. And so in the power of the Spirit that enabled Peter to stand up and preach and cause 3,000 people to come to Christ, Peter and John are able to engage with this man and make a difference in his life. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's the time for afternoon prayers at the temple. Faithful Jews would go to the temple morning and evening and they would pray. Peter and John were doing this. They would have done this many, many times before, either in the temple or in a synagogue in the villages that they were in. It was part of their commitment to God, but now they were doing it with a deeper, with a fuller understanding of who Jesus was and the change that he had made in their lives. They were doing it after experiencing those events of Pentecost. And suddenly they're confronted by a man who was lame, a man who had always been lame. He had never been able to walk. He was reduced to begging. He was dependent on others for survival. Every day he was placed at a prominent place where many people would pass him to get into the temple. Today we'd call it a good footfall location. That's where you want to be to get the most money. And if you'd asked him what he'd needed, his answer would have been totally clear. I need money so I can buy the things that I need to live. But his real need was to be able to walk so that he could earn the money that he needed to live and no longer be dependent on others. He had these two different types of need, what we sometimes call his felt need, the thing he was aware of, the thing he would talk to others about, the thing that was obvious. But he also had his real need, the thing that if it was met would totally change and transform his life. Back in 2008, I went to see my doctor because I had an itchy back. It had been itching for a long time and I'd had enough of it. And it was distracting and I wanted it sorted. So I went to the doctor fully confident that what I needed was some cream or some tablets that would stop this back itching. What my doctor told me was that I needed to go and get treatment for skin cancer, because that was the real problem. Tablets, cream, nah. They wouldn't have dealt with it. I needed to get the real problem that I was totally unaware of at that time. I needed to get that sorted. And so this man, who was clear about what he thought he needed, saw these two men just about to go into the temple. And on the face of it, they were no different to the thousands of others that he had seen passing by on their way into the temple. And he spoke to them, and he asked them for money. But these men were different. They'd spent 3 years with Jesus. They'd been sent out into the world in the power of the Spirit to go, to tell, to demonstrate the love and grace of God. And as they hear this man calling out to him, they know they couldn't address his felt need. They didn't have any money. They'd given it away. But that didn't mean that they had to ignore him and walk on. Rather, they were able to do something about his real need. And so they stop. They look at him. They pay attention to them. You know, sometimes when we're out walking and we see somebody who's got a tin, he's obviously asking for money, and we want to contribute, and we want to give them something, but we don't want to get involved. So we don't stop, we don't look at him, we don't really acknowledge him, we just put some money in the tin, and we walk on. We've helped with the felt need, but there's no real engagement with the person. Peter and John, on this occasion, chose to really connect. They saw this man as a person, not as a problem. They wanted to engage. Many people would have looked at this lame man with irritation. He's in the way. Why do we have to step over him? Why do we step round him? Why can't he go somewhere else? Peter and John looked at him with eyes full of compassion and love and encouragement. And as Peter spoke to him, as Peter asked him to engage with him, he drew his attention away from everybody else who was streaming into the temple. Some of them who might have been willing to give him money. And Peter encouraged him to focus his eyes on these two men, assuming they'd be able to help him. Can you imagine how he felt as he listened to what Peter was saying? Silver or gold I do not have. Why have you stopped to talk to me then? Why are you wasting my time? Are you just making fun of me? Don't you know what I need? I wonder if he nearly missed what Peter went on to say. But what I do have, I give you. Hang on, maybe I ought to be listening to what he's saying. Maybe he's got something that will help me. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. That wasn't what I was expecting. Doesn't he know that I've never been able to walk? But hang on, he's reaching down, he's taking my hand, he's helping me to stand, and suddenly my feet and ankles are feeling strong. This man's life was totally changed because Peter saw beyond his felt need and in the name of Jesus was able to reach through to his real need and bring healing and wholeness. This is not to say that engaging with people's felt needs, the things that are on the surface, aren't important. It is, and it's vitally important. But if we stop at addressing surface needs, we aren't fully doing what Jesus called us to do as he called on his followers to go and make disciples. Let's not be satisfied in giving our money or food items to those in need, although we should do that. But let's seek to go beyond that to really see lives changed in a deeper way. Peter and John were willing to give what they had, to give it to God, to give it to those who were in need. And there were things they didn't have. They didn't have any money. But they were happy to give what they had. And what they had was the experience of journeying for 3 years with Jesus and receiving all he had poured into their lives. They had compassion. They had presence. They were prepared to just be there with the man. They had a hope that things could change as they had seen many things change in the past. Yes, this person was lame. This person was lying in the temple. Matthew 21 talks about a time when the blind and the lame came to him, to Jesus, at the temple, and he healed them. This was not new for Peter and John. They had seen Jesus heal lame people at the temple. Here was a lame person. He was at the temple. The power of Jesus was there. It was obvious what was possible. The experience of Jesus, the experience with Jesus, had set them apart from the others going into the temple, even from those who were prepared to toss the beggar a shekel or two. And they were prepared to give this gift to the man. They were prepared to offer it to God. Are we prepared to offer what we have to God? To offer what we have to others? Are we prepared to take our experiences of life, the struggles we've been through, the ways God has engaged with us, the things we have learnt, and to offer them as a gift to others, and to pray that God would enable us to be a blessing to them? Let's not focus on what we don't have and let that stop us reaching out to others. And in the light of the events of last night, it's so easy to feel we've got nothing to offer to bring peace and hope into the world. And while we are not in a position to address all the needs of the world around us, that does not mean that we can't do anything. There were many things Peter and John didn't have. They didn't have degrees in medicine. But it didn't stop them reaching out, engaging with this man at his point of real need. Let's realise what we do have. Our gift of journey, the experiences of life that we each carry, the grace and truth we have received from God, and let's be prepared to offer it to others. Let's be certain that God can bless what we give. You remember the story of a young boy who came and offered a few loaves and a couple of fish, and Jesus was able to feed more than 5,000 people. Jesus can take whatever we have, even if it seems very small, and turn it into a real blessing. Let's recognise that we've each got a story to tell. The story of our lives, the bad moments and the glorious ones, as we can testify to God's presence when we've got things right and when we've messed up. And let's recognise that this is only of any real use if we offer it in the name of, in the power of Jesus. We can't change people's lives. Peter couldn't enable this person to walk, but Jesus could. And if we are prepared to offer Jesus what we have and go out in the power of that name, he can take it and use it as a blessing to many. For the man in our story, life would never be the same again. Never again would he need to be brought to the gate of the temple to lie there asking for loose change from those who pass by. Rather, he was able to go into the temple with them to recognize God's goodness and to rejoice what he had done in his life. People saw an opportunity to reach out, to connect, and they took it and changed a man's life. And as others saw what had happened, as others saw the change in this man's life, they were amazed at what God had done. They were filled with wonder and amazement. It wasn't just that the man was changed, but that the change had an impact on others. In my late teens, early 20s, I used to regularly get involved in beach missions in the summer. And we'd go out on beaches and we'd do missions and share the story, the good news of Jesus with others, often children, and then their parents got involved and we had some good times. And I did this for a number of years on the Isle of Wight, Sandown and Shanklin and Ventnor. Really great place to do this sort of stuff. But there was one particular young boy at Sandown. He was, 8 years old. And the first year I was there, he was an absolute pain. He was disruptive. He would go around hitting, kicking people, and it took a lot of time to try and keep him in some sort of order. Went back the following year, and this boy was there. He was a year older, and he was still a pain. But he was still hitting, and he was still kicking people. But towards the end of that week, something touched him, and he made a commitment to follow Jesus. And we were excited. We were overjoyed. We went back the following year. He was 10. And he was still a pain. And we were thinking, hang on. We thought that him coming to know Jesus would make a difference in his life. And suddenly we noticed that it had. he was still hitting people. He was still kicking people. But he was apologising to them afterwards. There was progress. There was progress. It was not an instant transformation. But we could see that God was making a difference in his life. And what God was doing in him was making a difference. I wonder what he's doing now. As we use the gift of our journey, as we share what God has done in our lives, as we connect to others, as we journey with others, it's as though we're causing ripples in a pond as we're able to bless them, and that in turn affects others. Are we willing to get involved? Are we willing to get engaged and to offer what we have to God and to those around us, both in our church family and beyond? There is a world outside that needs to experience people who are filled and motivated by the love of God and the power of his Spirit. Are we prepared to be those people to reach out to those who need to hear someone saying, get up and walk, whatever that means in their particular context?